Wow. So you say is wow in those moments when you really are just with God in his presence. Just wow. It's good stuff. If you got your copy of God's Word, open with me to Romans chapter 6. That's where we're going to be in just a few moments. Romans chapter 6. As you're finding your way there, I'm curious if any of you read this past week about the guy. He's Jordanian, and he had this fake ID and decided he would try and embezzle some money from this financial institution. Got arrested in the United Arab Emirates. And here's the deal, though. He made this fake ID, and you know what picture he used? Brad Pitt. He's Jordanian. He just went on the internet and found a picture he thought would work good and put it on a fake ID and tried to embezzle some money with it. Shockingly, he was caught. I know that shocks you. But and then they arrested him. They were asking him, they're like, what were you doing? Do you know who this is? He didn't even know. He was just like, I just went on to the internet and found this guy. Okay, you find like the most recognizable face on the planet and use it as your ID. I mean, that doesn't float real well. So it'd be kind of like me using a fake ID with Pastor Al. You know, I mean, it wouldn't work. He's the most recognizable face on the planet. So everybody would go, you're not Pastor Al. Not near as good looking, not near as smart, but you're stronger. I wouldn't say that unless I could run faster than him. So, hey, has anybody in here ever had their identification stolen or been the victims of like identity theft or anything? Just kind of raise your hand. Man, that's a lot of us. I know your pain. Check this out.
I didn't realize it would be so easy to lift his wallet when he was waiting for those Georgia Bulldog season tickets. I took his wallet and I went straight to the spa and I had my nails done. Then I had a pedicure and a foot soak. It was incredible. My legs have never felt so smooth after I had them waxed. I also went to the mall and picked up a couple of books that I'd been wanting to read. The Best of the Dalai Lama and Feng Shui and You. Then I got this instructional DVD about public speaking, but it really wasn't public speaking I wanted to do. It's singing. I heard American Idol's coming to Buffalo. You make me feel like a natural woman. Woman!
Yeah. See, I know your pain, and I brought you into my pain just a moment ago. See, the thing is, why would I do something like that? Here's why, because last week we talked about God's identity, and we talked about how we view God is really important to the way that we relate to God. But you got to understand this, the way that we relate to God is based upon who God says we are, our identity, in other words, as who we are in Christ. But unfortunately, there are enemies that are working against us that are trying to steal our identity, or at least steal our understanding of our identity. And certainly part of that is what we might call, or the Bible might call, the flesh. That part of us that's kind of the old part of us, if we're believers in Jesus, that old part of us that works against us, that try and pulls us to do the wrong stuff and kind of whispers in our ear to do the wrong stuff. And then you've got this enemy called Satan or the devil who is constantly trying to lure us back. And what our enemies want us to do, they want us to live in this world of our old identity instead of living in the world that God says he has created us to become, because the scripture says, if anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. The old has gone and everything has become new. And either it has or it hasn't. It's become new. And so in Jesus Christ, we have a brand new identity, but we've got these identity fraudulent people that are trying to, and these things that work against us, these powers that work against us that are trying to cause us to lose our identity in Jesus Christ and cause us to live in an old way, in an old style, in an old identity, and we're not that person anymore. We're not that person anymore, yet that's what we're trying to be encouraged to live like. It's like identity theft. You see, you and I have to understand something about our identity. Separated from God, we are certainly, we have dignity as human beings and we're loved by God as His creation. But understand this, you in and of yourself are not worthy. I in and of myself am not worthy of the greatness and the matchless grace of God. See, you know, I've heard people say, and they have this kind of impression of themselves, I'm a dirty scumbag. Well, here's the bottom line. You're right. But let me clarify. You say, Jerry, you calling me a dirty scumbag? No. God called you that before I did. But that's between you and God. Here's the deal. When you're separated from God, you say, well, I do some pretty good stuff. Listen, the Bible's clear. Your good stuff won't get you into heaven. Your good stuff does not make God go, whoo, look at that. I think I better call this guy my own because he's done a couple of good things. That's not at all the case. In fact, the Bible says in the Old Testament that all of our good works, if we're separated from God, all of our good works are kind of like filthy rags in the sight of God. It kind of like stinks to God because we're not holy like He's holy, and we can't be. It puts us in a pretty bad way because the Scripture calls us to be holy, and there's no way you and I can be holy. I mean, you got to be kidding me. God says, be holy as I am holy. Are you joking? Are you out of your mind? How in the world can you do that? Listen, clear newsflash, you can't. Okay, see you next week. You can't. So, Jerry, what are you supposed to do? Listen, that's where the Scripture says that we are in Christ. And when we are in Christ, God has done something dramatic. You see, we had a problem that we couldn't solve, and so God decided to solve it for us. What God did through His Son, Jesus Christ, when He got on a cross, the perfect, sinless one, Jesus, He satisfied the perfect nature of who God is. He satisfied all the elements of the law and even superseded that and showed us the way of righteousness. But you see, you and I had a problem of sin and we couldn't get to God. And so what God did is allowed Jesus Christ to die on a cross for you and I and because of you and I to satisfy the justice of God. You see, sin has consequences. Does anybody know that? Sin has consequences. No matter what it is, no matter how little, how big, sin has consequences. And the consequences of being born are that you are sinful. You say, man, I didn't sign up for that. I know. Adam signed us up for it. But that's kind of the deal we've got. When we are born, we are sinners by our very nature. In other words, we have a bent towards sin. We're sinners by nature, and we choose to sin. We may do some good things here and there, but we choose to sin. As a result, we're separated from God. We can't possibly be holy, so how could we be received by God? Well, God would have to do that for us. And that's what He's done in Jesus Christ. When Jesus died on the cross, He satisfied the wrath of God. In other words, God poured out all His wrath on Jesus Christ for our sin, the past, the present, and the future sin. God poured it out on Jesus Christ, and Jesus, because He was the perfect sacrifice, satisfied the righteousness of God. And our wrath was placed on Jesus. In other words, you might think of it this way. Jesus paid a debt for us that He did not owe because we owed a debt to God that we could not pay. But God loved us so much that He allowed Jesus to go through this, and Jesus paid the penalty for our sin on our behalf, took our place on the cross, dying for us, but by the grace of God, He didn't stay dead. He rose from the grave, conquering sin, conquering hell, conquering death, conquering the grave. And as a result, when you and I step over that line of faith and put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and turn loose of the old life, the Bible says we're brand new in Jesus. So our righteousness comes from Him. It's not something that we are working toward or trying to conjure up. It is something that God has graced us with. We are in Jesus Christ. Now, I've pointed your attention to Romans chapter 6, and I want you to kind of see this fleshed out a little bit. And the first few verses talk about our being baptized into Jesus' death. And then I want you to pick up in verse number 5 of Romans chapter 6. It says, if we have been united with Him like this in His death, we will certainly also be united with Him in His resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with Him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. And offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master because you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under law, but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey? Whether you're slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. Now, this is a passage of scripture that's rich, and we're going to just have a few moments here to dive into a couple of things that I want to turn your attention to. But it's very important that you understand the nature of your spiritual identity, your identity in Christ, and here's why. Just like last week, if you weren't here, check it out online or pick up a CD or something. We talked about the ability to see God for who he is. God has revealed himself to us through his word and has given us the opportunity to know him as he has revealed himself to us. When we do that, it changes the way we relate to God. But we have to understand what God has said about our identity, because our identity, remember this statement, our identity shapes our reality. I've said that before in a message, but I want you to lock in on that principle. Your identity shapes your reality. In other words, if your identity is this, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Listen, I understand the thought behind that statement, but that statement is inaccurate. You are a sinner saved by grace. Make no mistake about it. If you have stepped over the line of faith and entrusted your life to Jesus, you are a sinner saved by grace. But you've heard it said, I am just a sinner saved by grace. Oh no, you're much more than that. You're not just a sinner saved by grace. The scripture has a lot more to say about you than that. The scripture has a lot, because then you walk around, if that's your identity, you walk around like the dirty dog scumbag. Well, I'm just a dirty dog scumbag. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Yep, that's me. And so your life is shaped by that particular reality, and as a result, your identity is shaping the way you relate to God and the way you let God relate to you. So there's a first word that I want to point out to you here, and I'm going to give you three that I really want you to jot down and know that come right out of the text here. And our identification is shaped, first of all, by what we know. All right, I want you to write down that word, by what we know. And in fact, now I want you to look in verses 6 and 7. If you've got your copy of the Bible there, look at it. It says, for we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with. That we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. In other words, the scripture says that we are to know that Christ is the one who has freed us, and that we're no longer living in our old ways, our old identity, but we have a brand new identity, and the scripture calls us to know that information. You remember in the Civil War, it was one of the great black eyes of the United States of America, and you had sometimes brother fighting against brother, and certainly family fighting against family in the Civil War, and that was bad enough. Some of the causes of the beginning of the Civil War, not only were they financial and trade value, but there was also slavery as a cause of the Civil War. And you know, it's not a pretty sight in terms of our American history, this whole issue of slavery. By the grace of God, God worked through the president at that time, Abraham Lincoln, and those who were advising him on that. And toward the close of that Civil War time frame, there was an Emancipation Proclamation. Do you remember that? That Emancipation Proclamation was a legal settlement, a legal statement that all of those who were slaves were not slaves any longer. In other words, they had been freed legally so that they didn't have to continue in slavery. But do you know what some of those slave owners did because some of those slaves could not read at that time and didn't have access to education because they were being enslaved? You know what some of the slave owners did? They didn't tell them. They never told them. They didn't give them the information. So they knew, if I don't give the slaves the information, they're going to go on still being slaves to me, even though they have a new identity. They are citizens of the United States and they are free. I am not going to tell them so that they'll continue to live and act in slavery. You see, for you and I, what needs to happen in our lives is we have to get to know what God said about us, or else we won't understand our identity. If we don't know what the information is that God has said this about me, if I have entered into Jesus Christ, God has said this about me. If I don't know that, I'm in trouble. And you know, knowing is not enough. You've got to move past knowing, but it starts with understanding what God has said about you. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to meditate on the scriptures that you're about to see and some of the truth that you're about to see. Listen closely. You're not going to be able to write them all down probably fast enough, but don't worry. They're going to appear on our website, so you can just click on there and get these because I want you, I've got a little something up my sleeve. I want you to deal with these this week, all right? Some of these passages of scripture. And I want you to meditate on these. Now you're going, dude, did you just say meditate on these? Like you want me to go, hello? You know, that's not what I'm talking about. From an Eastern mysticism standpoint, meditation has to do with the clearing of your mind or the emptying of your mind. From the standpoint of a Christ follower, meditation has to do with filling your mind. You fill your mind with the Word of God. I'm not trying to empty my mind. I'm trying to fill my mind with the Word of God so that I can begin to chew on that and think through that and start to know what has God said about you and me if we are in Christ. So I want you to sit back and I want you to pay close attention and meditate on these things. Thank you. How many in here needed to see that? I am shocked at the nature of people, how blown away they are when you start talking to them about their spiritual identity. People are going, man, that can't be me. That can't be me. Well, if you know the information which I'm trying to expose you to right now in terms of what God has said about you, as I said a moment ago, it's not enough just to know that, is it? You can know stuff and never really let it sink in. You can let it move into your head, but never let it run and seep into your heart. You've done that with lots of stuff before. There's lots of stuff we say we believe, but we don't act on it. We don't do anything with it, so we really don't believe it. We just let it kind of run through our mind. And those verses are going to be on our website, so you pick those up. And what I want you to do this week, I don't want you to take all of those and read them every day. Just take a chunk of them for each of the 7 days so that you'll get through them, because there's a lot of them. But I want you to think about what God has said in terms of who He has said you are if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. I want you to think about that. I want you to meditate on that. So we understand our spiritual identity. And we understand that our identity is shaped by what we know. But let me give you a second word I want you to jot down. Write down the word consider. Or you might want to write down in parentheses count. That's fine too. Or if you're reading the King James Version, write down the word reckon. R-E-C-K-O-N. Write down the word reckon. All three, same deal there, okay? Consider, count, or reckon. Look with me in verse number 11, and I want you to see this after you've jotted it down. It says, in the same way, count or consider or reckon yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Now, let me talk to you for just a second about this word consider or count or reckon, depending on your translation. It comes from a Greek word, and it's an accounting term. How many accountants are in here? Anybody that's an accountant in here? Okay, you're counting the seconds of my message right now, aren't you? Yes, I am. Stop talking. Stop wasting my time. I'm counting. Does an accountant deal with theory? Does an accountant deal with philosophy? No. Accountants deal with facts, don't they? They deal with reality. In other words, what is in the account? What is on the ledger? The accountant deals only with facts and reality, not with hope so, maybe so. So if I said to my accountant, hey, would you do my taxes? I think that I have $1 million. My accountant is going to go, you have problems is what you have. You don't have $1 million. You're not going to have $1 million your whole lifetime, probably. Knock it off. I'm dealing with facts here. You don't have $1 million. I'm going to do the math on what you do have, not on what you think you have or hope to have or maybe have or whatever. I'm going to deal solely with the facts. I'm dealing with reality. Listen to what the scripture says. The word consider or count or reckon is a word of reality. And it says in the same way, count as reality, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. In other words, God says, it is so. There's no arguing, there's no debating. You are dead to the mastery of sin. Sin no longer reigns over you. It is as good as reckoned as fact. It is counted. It is considered. So you and I have to move past just knowing the information. Okay, we see the information and go, okay, I get it. It's got to move from here, and now it's got to seep into our hearts, because we've got to go from knowing the information to believing what it is and what it says. Now you say, but Jerry, that's a problem for me, man. I read some of that stuff, and I'm going, you know, that's why I put on there, I'm a saint. Imagine that. Some of you do that, don't you? You're going, dude, man, the Bible says I'm a saint. I'm having a little trouble getting that one under the belt. I'm having a little struggle. Listen, I hear you loud and clear. I don't know what you associate saint with, but you've got to understand that most of the time when you're associating things in the Bible with yourself, you're trying to work your way into being those things when the Bible says that's what you already are and you didn't do it to begin with. God is the one who did it on your behalf. It's His righteousness, not yours. Yet we somehow continue to think and believe the lies of the identity thieves that we're going to have to live over here in this place. We're going to have to live back here in this place. And we're going to stay back here because this is who we think we are. This is who we're trying to become. This is who we're working toward becoming. When God said, look, it's a fact. I've already done this. This is who you are. In fact, that same word, in the Greek language is also the word used when it's talking about Abraham. And the scripture says, as you recall in the book of Romans, that Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness. Do you remember that statement? It was counted to him. It was entered into the ledger as righteousness. In other words, God said, because of his faith, I have in effect stamped this as fact that Abraham is righteous. It's the same thing about us. You and I have to be able to grab hold of that, but it's difficult, isn't it? You know, the Bible speaks of itself in terms of a mirror on occasion. The book of James, you remember it says, don't be just hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. Because those who just hear the word, they kind of make their way in and they look in the mirror and they see themselves, but they walk away and they forget what they look like. You remember that? Book of James? They just forget what they look like. That's not at all what you're going to do. If you're doing the word, but if you're just a hearer only, you're not going to be able to function properly because you're looking in the mirror and it doesn't look anything like you. You're kind of going, I've forgotten myself. Have you ever seen that show, The Swan? You ever seen that show? It's like Extreme Makeover for bodies instead of like houses. You know, where they take out like chainsaws and just make people look different, you know, or whatever. It's crazy, man. The first move on that whole thing of, you know, the first second he was like, yeah, I think I'm going to chop off your, you know, whatever. You know, I'm going to make you different. Thank you, but I'll pass. I'll stay with the half bald head skinny look if you don't mind. I'm just going to stick with the God-given whatever it is and So this whole extreme makeover of the body kind of thing. And here's what's in that show, The Swan. After they do this extensive work, I mean, they nip, they tuck, they clip, it's crazy. They do all this stuff, and then at the end, this person hasn't seen themselves in a mirror, have they? And they get to the end, and there's this humongous mirror, and it's got this big sheet draped over, this curtain draped over it, and then they do the big reveal. You know, they're kind of standing there, and everybody's oohing and aahing, but they don't know what they look like, and they pull the thing down, and they're looking in the mirror going, you know, they're doing all this stuff because they can't believe that it's them that they're looking at in the mirror. Have you seen that show before? You've seen people like that? They can't believe it's them. And you know, when they're interviewed, they say that months and months and months after even that, every time they walk by a mirror, they go, oh, that's me. You know, they're freaking out because it's them. You know what they have to do? They have to stare in the mirror all the time just to remind themselves of who they are. The Word of God is that mirror for us, and here's why I tell you it's so important. You've got to get yourselves, that's why I'm trying to leverage you into the Word of God. You've got to get yourself into the mirror of God's Word because you'll be reading it going, I'm a saint. And then you just bypass that because you're not spending enough time looking in the mirror going, that's what God has said about me. That's what God has said about me. I mean, that's absolutely unbelievable. It's almost impossible for me to imagine. But look, you've got to get in the mirror long enough to start believing that who God says you are is who you are. Because what we have a tendency to do is we try and work toward being who we're supposed to be instead of being who we are. Listen to what I'm saying here. You say, well, yeah, Jerry, preach on, man. The Bible said it. You know, that's exactly right. We're to be the salt and the light of the salt of the earth and the light of the world. No, we're not. The Bible doesn't say that anywhere. Jerry, you just showed it to me up on the screen, you moron. That's exactly what it said. We're to be the salt of the earth, and we're supposed to be the light of the world. It's not what it said. It said you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Not something you've got to strive to become. It's who you are. It is a new identity for you. But you keep listening to all the calls that are back here saying, come live in this old identity and keep striving for who you need to become. You know who you need to become? Who you are. Become who you already are. That's what our spiritual identity is. That's what growth and grace is. It's us understanding who we are and living like it. Now, let me give you a third word. I think it's real important that we catch this. It's the word offer, or you might write in parentheses, present. The word offer or present. Look with me in verse number 13 and 14. It says, do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. Now, it's interesting here, this word offer. We've just gone, listen, here's where we've gone. We've gone from the head to the heart, and now we're into the hands, aren't we? We're into the actual doing. This is a holistic following of Christ. We're talking not just about engaging the mind, but engaging the heart and engaging the hands. Head, heart, and hands. That's what we have to do in terms of serving God. He says, love me with everything you've got, right? Love me with your head, your heart, and your hands. And that's exactly the process that the Apostle Paul gives us by inspiration of the Holy Spirit here. He says, you got to know the information, and then you got to let that sink in, and you got to start believing it. Then you're going to have to act on it. And he says, what do you do to act on it? He says, first of all, you offer or present the parts of you. You don't offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness. Now, that's interesting because it's a negative and a positive. In other words, how do you put flesh on this? He says, first of all, you got to do this negative thing, and you got to say no to some things, and then you do the positive thing, and you say yes to some things. Listen closely. Most people's lives are lived on this side, and they think that's what Christianity is all about. Have you ever heard the pastors, and you know, that'll happen from time to time. It's always, you get the pounding on the, you know, bless God, you better not hang out with people who drink, you better not cuss, you better not sleep around, blah, blah, blah. You know, hey, all of it true. I've said it, Pastor Al said it. We'll say it again, by the way. You shouldn't do any of those things, okay? Let me just reinforce that. Lay off all that stuff, all right? But sometimes that's said without ever saying yes to anything else. It's just preaching to the no side. Don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. And there are a lot of people in their Christianity that are defined by what they say no to. Yeah, are you a Christian? You better believe I am. I don't cuss, don't drink, don't chew, don't hang out with people who do. That's how you define your Christianity. You've defined Christianity about the things that you've said no to. Listen, you don't walk in victory that way. You certainly don't need to be engaging those things, and that's exactly what the scripture says. Do not offer, do not present the parts of your body to sin as instruments, that word can also be translated weapons, as weapons of unrighteousness, but instead, what does it say? Offer yourselves to God as those who've been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. So what does that mean? That means we're saying no to some things, but it's because we're turning and facing God, saying, God, here I am. Do with me whatever you want. My head, my heart, and my hands are yielded to you. You do with me whatever you want, and I'm going to walk by faith in you, Jesus, because I know you're leading me. It's not about just me thinking about all the stuff that I want to avoid. Some of our prayer lives are like this in the morning. If we pray at all, it may be this. God, I pray that you'd help me not to do this, and I really don't want to do this. I've been doing some other things, and I don't want to do that anymore either. And I don't want to do this. All right, amen. Peace out. That's kind of where we're at. Instead of, and we're working toward the no, listen, which is a part of the equation, but it's only half the battle. It's not just about saying, God, help me not to do these things. And by the way, if you're struggling in areas, ask God to help you not to do some of those things. Ask him. But also offer yourselves to God as an instrument of righteousness, as a weapon in the hand of God, so that God can take you and use you instead of you living your life trying to do sin management for the rest of your life. Running around going, yeah, I can't do that. I'm not doing that. You don't even know where to go. You're just looking around. Nope. Why don't you start turning and facing God and saying, God, I'll do what you want me to do. That's the yes part. You can get the no part. We all understand the no part. Get the yes part. Yes, God, I'm yielding myself. Yes, my yes is on the table before you even ask the question. God, whatever you want me to do, the answer is yes. Here's what I want you to do. I've already answered it. Answer's yes. Yes, sir. On my way. I'm ready to go. Let's do it. You got to get both parts of that right. See why? Because we know the truth. We start believing the truth, and then we have to act on it. We have to engage our head, our heart, and our hands in our spiritual identity. That Emancipation Proclamation, let me tell you about those people who experience freedom. It was those slaves who, first of all, found out that there was an Emancipation Proclamation and that they were citizens of the United States and they were no longer slaves. You know what they had to do past that point? They had to start believing it. Once they found out the information, they had to believe it, and they had to say, you know what, that's true. And if they believed it, you know what they would do? They would act on it. You know what the first step would be for them? Next time the slave owner comes around and says, this is what you're going to do, the first response would be, not doing it. No. What? I said no. What are you talking about? No. Let me spell it for you. N. Uh-oh. No. Not doing it. You better do it. You're a slave of mine. No, I'm not. I'm not a slave anymore. The President of the United States of America has said that I am free, that I am not a slave any longer, that I am a free citizen in the United States. So whatever you, and I believe it, and whatever you tell me to do, the first answer to you is no. You know why? Because I'm saying yes to freedom. And I'm walking off of this campus, I'm walking off of this plantation, and I am walking into freedom. That's what it requires, ladies and gentlemen, in our spiritual lives, because the same picture is right here, that we were slaves to sin, but God, who is the King of the kingdom of the universe, God who is over all, has sent out a spiritual emancipation proclamation saying, when you're in Christ, you are no longer under the bondage of sin, and you don't have to listen to the slave owner, the enemy, Satan. You don't have to listen to him anymore. So what is your response? Next time he starts whispering to you, you say, no, I'm walking in freedom because God said this is who I am. Stop trying to become who you already are. Just simply be who you are. And let God work you in the process. See, the difference between us and the lady on the swan who's looking in the mirror going, I can't believe this is me. That's her finished product, basically. You and I, when we look in the mirror, we're still in process. We're still going through the process. God is continuing to shape us, and we've got to see. Listen, this is the only book that when you read it, it reads you. Every time you open it, the author shows up. Got any books like that? God gets involved when we start getting in this mirror and we say, okay, God, we believe who you say that we are, and we're going to start living like that. We're going to start working like that. We're going to start serving like that. We're going to identify with our new identity. You know who understood that? Michelangelo. You say, Michelangelo, is he a personal friend? No, we've never been to Starbucks together. But what I do know about Michelangelo is this. Unbelievable artist, sculptor, painter. Michelangelo was commissioned at a very young age in his 20s to do the sculpture of David. You've heard of it. You've seen it. It's absolutely incredible. So what did he do? He sculpted it. It took him months, years, however long it took him, and it was gorgeous. When asked, Michelangelo said, how did you come up with the vision of doing David from this slab of granite? How did you get the vision? He said, David was always in there. I just knocked off everything that didn't look like him. That's what God's trying to do in our lives. You got a brand new identity, ladies and gentlemen. You are in Christ if you have trusted your life to him. And you just need to allow God to knock off everything that doesn't look like him and surrender yourself, offer yourself, say yes, no, consider an offer. It's a brand new identity for you. Let's bow our heads together. Some of us in here may not be people who have surrendered our lives to Jesus Christ. I'd ask that in the quietness of this moment that you would listen as intently with your heart as you do with your ears. If you're here and you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, understand this. The Bible says that everyone has sinned and there are consequences for sin. The Bible says it this way, the wages of sin is death. But that same verse says, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And if you've never turned away from your sin, the Bible calls it repentance, and put your faith and trust in Jesus, and you say, boy, I want to do that. I want to leave my sin and myself, and I want to enter into a new identity with Christ. I've never invited him into my life to come and take up residence in me. Then I would ask, wherever you're seated, maybe in the silence of your heart, you pray something like this. And understand there's no magic in my words, but pray something like this. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I can't save myself, but I believe in you. And I believe you died on a cross for me and because of me. I believe you paid the penalty that I owed. And I first want to thank you for that. And I want to ask you to come into my life and forgive me of my sin and change me forever. Thank you that you rose from the dead, and know that I believe in you and that I love you. And I offer all of me to you today. In Jesus' name, our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're here and you'd say, Jerry, I prayed that with you, meant it with all my heart. Don't be ashamed or embarrassed. I'm not going to embarrass you at all. But just with everybody else's heads bowed and eyes closed, would you just lift your hand up high and say, that's me. Jerry, that's me. Don't be ashamed. Put it up high so I can see your hand. Say, hey, I just prayed that with you. Leave it up there for a moment. It's a big room. Thanks. Thank you. Lots of people all over the room. Thank you. Thanks over here. I see you. You can put your hands down. Those of you that raised your hands, I pray you'd listen to Pastor Al. He wants to encourage you along your decision. I pray you'd give him attention. Father, thanks for your word. Thanks for our new identity, our new birth certificate in Jesus. Thank you for what you have said about us, not what we're trying to affirm about ourselves or trying to trump up about ourselves, but what you said is true of us because of your righteousness, not because of our own, because of your righteousness, because we are in Jesus Christ. God, help us to live in that identity. Help us to look in the mirror long enough to see what you have said, God, and to live it out and believe it and walk in that freedom. We trust you to honor your word in all of our hearts this week. In Jesus' name.